The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. I know you're all wondering how come Philip could not pray over the people in Samaria and have the Holy Spirit come upon them, right? Okay, maybe not all of you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Because you're probably thinking of the Apostle Philip. That's not the Apostle Philip, that's the Deacon Philip. If you remember last Sunday's gospel, the apostles went to the community and said, "Look, we need help, so let us choose 7 men from among the community to help us." And they chose the first 7 deacons, and one of them is Philip, who went down to Samaria to preach. And just like we still do today, deacons can baptize. But confirmation, which one that we pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon, usually teenagers or adults, is usually the bishop, the successor of the apostles, who celebrates the sacrament of confirmation. Now, once in a while, the pastor of a parish can do this. So we still have that same separation. We see that there is 2 different sacraments, baptism and confirmation, and that deacons can baptize, but bishops usually are the one who celebrate that sacrament. And that's based on this reading. But what's more interesting about this reading is how it helps us understand the gospel. Jesus' words, "If you love me, you keep my commandments." A lot of times today when we talk about love, we think about a warm, fuzzy feeling, how I feel about a person or about a thing. That's how we picture love most of the time. But that's not the love that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about obeying the commandments, living that love. Jesus told us the greatest commandment is to love God and to love one another, love our neighbor. But Jesus did not just say the words. He showed us on the cross what love is, that it means sacrifice, it means commitment, it means forgiveness, it means compassion. It's not how we feel. And that's what Jesus is reminding us of today's gospel. That's why Philip, who went to Samaria to preach, and later on John and Peter, the Samaritans were the enemies of the Israelites in a way. The Israelites, the Jewish people, did not consider them to be Jews. They wouldn't have anything to do with them. They wouldn't even cross through their area. But they remembered that Jesus went through Samaria. Remember the story with the Samaritan woman. They also remember Jesus told them, "Love your enemies." So that's why they lived that commandment of love by going out and preaching to those who they really did not consider to be like them. That's the love that Jesus calls us to. But today, it's different to know, it's difficult to know, well, what is the commandments of God? Obviously, the Ten Commandments doesn't, encompass everything we have to live and to deal with. And each one of us, even today, are dealing with different issues. So how do we know what's the loving thing to do sometimes with faith? And Jesus tells us today, he's sending us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. That's how we're supposed to know what is the loving thing to do, by being open to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit. What truth do you follow? Where do you get your truth? Is it from CNN or Fox or LA Times or the Wall Street Journal? Or somebody who has, you know, a website and preaches? How do we know what is truth today? I think that's a big issue that we have as a society, is we don't know who we can trust, who we can believe. It doesn't seem there is any more one truth. If there is one God, one Savior, one Holy Spirit, shouldn't be there one truth? And yet we live in a world, we say, no, you know, who we determine what truth is today, sometimes it's our political affiliation, sometimes could be our business interest, but most of the time it's what I think is the truth. We follow our own truth. Because we can't trust anyone. We don't trust even the church. How can we trust what they say? Look what they've done. And that's a valid criticism. But remember, it's not the truth of the church, the bishops, the hierarchy, the pope of, you know, of the church. It's the truth of Jesus Christ. That they gives us the guarantee that through the teaching authority of the church, we will continue to have the truth that would lead us to heaven, to salvation. Not the truth about political things or financial things or other things, but whatever is necessary for us to get to heaven, Jesus made the promise that the church would continue to share with us and teach us that truth, irrespective of what they're doing, because all of us are human beings. All of us, we fall short of living that love and the truth of God. But that doesn't mean that we cannot proclaim it. How we live that truth individually, whether as a priest or as a bishop or as a pope or as a group of bishops, has nothing to do with the truth. The truth is still the truth. Because without that truth, how can we find our way to heaven? Without that truth, that guarantee of Jesus, then really he only impacted those people who were with him when he was alive and they believed what he said. His influence will be limited to those 3 years of his ministry. Then we don't know what he said. We don't know what he lived. But Jesus guarantees through the Holy Spirit that each one of us would still know the truth that we need to get us to heaven if we want to, if we are open to it. If we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us on those situations where we're trying to make the right decision. If we listen to the teaching of the church and see, is that comparable with in my own prayer, in my own discernment as I read the scriptures? Does that make sense to me? Is that really the loving thing to do? It's not enough to say, well, I love Jesus. You know, we have these different, you know, groups of thinking in the church. Well, you know, as long as you love God, God loves you. Don't worry about anything else. Well, I don't think that's how it worked for Jesus. He ended up on the cross. The other side is we're so focused on following the commandments that we forget that they're about love. They're not about judging others and condemning others. They're about how we can love better. How we can love everyone, even our enemies. That's the purpose of the commandments. Not for us to become, you know, see ourselves as better than someone else. Because while I follow these commandments, maybe I don't follow these. It's about how we can learn how to love, how to grow in love. And that's what the Holy Spirit will give us. Today we celebrate Mother's Day. Mothers, thank you for your motherhood, because you're the great witness, the great personification of really God's love for each one of us. You give birth to children, as God gives birth to all of us, gave birth to life. You feed your children as God feeds us through the body of His Son. But you also teach your children your values. You teach them what is right and what is wrong. And God does the same thing for us. He teaches us what is right, what is wrong, because just like mothers want the best for their children, want them to live a happy and fulfilled life, God wants the same thing for us. So what Jesus is sharing with us, what Jesus is teaching with us, is nothing different than what parents do with their children. And that's why being mothers is so important for us. Not just because you gave birth to children, but because you modeled the love that Jesus calls us to. You modeled God's love for each one of us. You loved your babies the moment they were born. You didn't say, well, let me see what kind of child is going to grow up. Is he going to remember me on Mother's Day before I love him or her? You just loved your baby. You make many sacrifices for your children. The same thing with God, who loves us from the moment we are born. When we come to be baptized as infant, people say, why are we baptizing infant? They don't know what's going on. It doesn't matter what they know. It's what we know about God, that God loves that child from the moment they were born. That child is now God's adopted son or daughter. That child is given the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, so that child will grow and one day make it to heaven to be with our Heavenly Father. It's who God is. But that love is not just to take for granted or, oh yeah, I love Jesus, you know, I love God, we love people. It's to live that love by obeying the commandments, following the teachings of church, discerning ourselves, not taking things for granted, but through prayer, discernment, getting to know Jesus, getting to know His word. Jesus makes us the promise that He'll always be with us. He will always guide us and help us to get to heaven. That's what He died for, not to make things difficult for us, but to be the light that shows us the way to eternal life. So as this Easter season is coming to end, next Sunday we celebrate Ascension Sunday, then Pentecost Sunday. Let us be open to that gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of courage, and live as people of the Spirit, people who are filled with God's Holy Spirit, so one day we can share God's eternal life.